Net neutrality, or the principle that all internet content should be treated equally, could be affected under proposed rules from the Federal Communications Commission. Today, the FCC is expected to publicly release rules that would allow some internet providers, like Comcast or Verizon, to charge companies like Google or Netflix for special faster lanes. Critics say this would discriminate against smaller media outlets unable to pay for faster speeds, and protesters are rallying outside the FCC headquarters in Washington, D.C. in opposition to FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler's proposal. Joining us now to discuss net neutrality and what changes could mean is Kent Osborne, SDPB Director of Online and Education. He's also host of Tech Radio. And Kent, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.
And with us on the line is a regular guest on Tech Radio, Amos Asip, Network Security Sales Engineer at SDN Communications. And Amos, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, to begin with, Amos, is the principle of net neutrality the way the internet has always operated?
You know, it has been ever since we got started with it in the early days. The idea has been that traffic on the internet is all the same, has all the same priority, and nobody gets any preferential treatment over anybody else. And that was okay when we first started with it. The amount of traffic that was flowing, the size of internet connections, even connections to people's homes were relatively small. But today we're seeing a lot more of those connections being stressed, especially at the ISP level, when we start doing things like, watching movies, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, that sort of stuff. And so that's where the question comes up, is whether or not this needs to continue to be free. Is a packet, and it needs to be able to go anywhere, no matter what it contains, just as fast as any other packet, or do we need to start to put regulation and pricing structures based on utilization?
Is this a situation now that we've reached where we have to make a change, given all of the things that are involved here, or is it just that maybe some lobbying and the different entities are involved and want to see if they can get some more money out of it, Kent?
Well, here's the deal. As we've been following on the show for a number of years, this Netflix thing has really kind of taken off. So they're now 34% of all the peak traffic downloaded on the internet right now, Netflix is. And so U.S. citizens who have kind of, we've been talking about cutting the cord, they get rid of cable or some other provider or are off the air, you know, they don't watch off the air anymore, they just get all their information over the internet, they consume an average of 212 gigabytes of data a month. And, I mean, that's a lot, okay, compared to the normal, if there is a normal internet user, that's seven times more than the rest of us. So that should help answer that question. Does something need to be done? Well, if things keep going this way, possibly.
Well, this brings up another question about this, Amos. Is this the responsibility of the FCC? Is this a public utility?
That's really kind of the crux of the matter, is whether or not, you know, right now, up to this point, it's been regulated or it's been looked at by the FCC as an information service and not really subject to very many regulations or oversight. But now, you know, the question is, should it be more considered something like a telecommunications a product where there's a lot more oversight, there's a lot more regulation, there's a lot more having their fingers in it. And that's really the question. I think you'll find people on both sides who are very passionate about it who will argue that that on the one side it should be free. It's information that's out there. It's an information product, information services. There's, you know, for one person who might consider Netflix to be very important to them, there might be another person who finds some basic websites with text-only type data on it to be just as important, and that they should be treated equally, and neither one should be slowed down or given more priority than the other. But at the same time, on the other side of the coin, you're seeing that the utilization, like Kent speaks of, is starting to stress some of the networks. It's starting to stress some of the ISPs that are out there, and it's starting to cause the necessity to upgrade networks and to spend more money on it, and whether or not the smaller companies who are paying to use the internet should be subsidizing those larger companies, or whether those larger companies need to foot their share of the bill. And so, you know, that's where the real argument comes in.
When we look to the future, could this become something similar to the way cable television is working these days, where it's the service providers that are essentially determining what content we get? Kent?
That's a great question, and I think Amos is about to answer that.
Okay.
I've seen some humorous cartoons, or at least that's what they were going for when it comes to net neutrality, and the providers who provide us that content. Maybe, you know how you get those cards in the mail that say, you know, subscribe to this particular satellite provider, and for our base package includes these channels, and for $5 more you get maybe the sports channels, and for another $10 more you get the premium movie channels. And that's really where some people see this going, is that for consumers who may be purchasing the base internet, you might get things like static web pages, things like CNN or things like other newspapers that might be out there. And then maybe for another $5, you might get the sports package, the ESPNs and other places that stream smaller sized videos. And then for another $10, maybe you do get the Hulus or the Amazons or Netflix or that sort of stuff. And so that's really the parallels we see with the cable or the satellite providers, where that's going. And a lot of people are really against that. They say, I want to buy internet service and I want to receive packets no matter what's inside that packet.
Essentially what we're looking at here, and I guess we can't necessarily see into the future, but it almost sounds like whatever the FCC decides to do, that the internet as we know it today will change in one way or another, Kent?
Well, okay, so what they voted to do was have a public comment period of 4 months. So that's what they're going to get, is they're going to get a bunch of outraged people on one side and a bunch of outraged people on the other side, and they're all going to make comment on this. But, what they would like to do right now is basically allow people like Netflix to pay people like Comcast and to provide better service of their product to the consumer. That's what they're asking for right now. And, would it be easy to get out of hand after that? It may be. I don't know. I mean, Comcast has already kind of been caught, you know, basically going in and looking at people's packets and seeing what they're doing. And if they're doing something like peer-to-peer networks, which is, you know, ways of sharing large files, or if they're doing FTP or even some online gaming, they'll throttle their service back a little bit and not allow them as fast a service. So, and I'm not saying Comcast is doing it, but other companies have been caught doing things like that, doing that what's called deep packet inspection. So they're basically discriminating against people doing certain things on the internet versus other people. So is that the future? Is that where we're going? I'm not really sure. But we're kind of getting an idea of some of the things that could happen without net neutrality.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking about net neutrality. Today, the FCC is expected to publicly release rules that would allow some internet service providers like, say, Comcast or Verizon to charge companies like Google or Netflix for faster special lanes. Critics say this would discriminate against the smaller media outlets unable to pay for faster speeds. We're talking with Kent Osborne of Tech Radio and one of his frequent guests, frequent commentators on Tech Radio, Amos Asip, network security sales engineer at SDN Communications. And one of the interesting things that makes this all the more complicated when you're talking about companies like Comcast is Comcast is not only a service provider, it's also a content provider. So, Amos, what does that mean when you have a company that then can prefer their own content when they don't necessarily have to compete with other content providers and service providers. And it just, this seems like there's just so many different aspects of this that it's almost hard to make sense of it or even figure out really how this is all going to work out.
You know, this is really where the topic gets a little bit messy. You know, I don't think anybody can argue the point that you know, if you're utilizing more of a service than another entity is using, you probably should pay a little more. I think the most common analogy I've heard has been compared to, like, say, FedEx. If you're going to ship a box across the country, FedEx is going to charge you more for a larger or a heavier box because it takes up more services on their planes and trucks. And so that analogy kind of works here with the packets and the number of packets that get sent across when you're a Netflix-type company. Where we have the problem, though, is exactly what you're saying, is that now you've got a content provider who also has control over the medium in which that content is provided, and if they want to leave their content wide open in the fast lane, if you will, but maybe some of their competitors, they want to slow that down and discourage people from using it, they gain a little bit of a competitive advantage there. And that is where the problem comes in, because now you're going to see the smaller, less financially capable companies who just don't have the opportunities to keep up with the big spending boys, if you will, that the net has really been famous for. And you know, the idea that everybody can jump on the internet and provide content and everybody's got the same shot at making it to that end user, this changes that.
Do you know how other countries deal with it, this concept of having a net neutrality, or the way they deal with the content and service providers? Or is this unique to the U.S.? I mean, this is something you haven't really looked at. I'm just kind of curious there.
Well, everybody's kind of struggling with this at this point. You know, the United States absolutely takes the lead when it comes to these sorts of, you know, internet regulations and how we move things along and develop things and make them bigger and better. But obviously, the internet is worldwide. One of the things that I have heard, though, is that maybe some of these issues aren't quite as pressing in places like the UK, where there is more competition for internet service providers or for content delivery folks, because if you find someone who is providing you a service that you don't like, you've got the ability to switch. In the United States, we find that that's not the case in a lot of areas where, in some cases, you know, you only have one service provider in your town and you don't have the ability to have your money speak for you and move to another provider.
Is there a smooth way, Kent? Do you think that this can be worked out, or do you think this is just part of the way the discussion is going to go as things change, as technology changes, as different interests are involved, that things are going to go in certain directions, or is this just going to be messy all the way, that whatever FCC decides to do?
What's the resolution of this?
Is there a resolution?
I mean, you know, it's such a lofty idea. I mean, it's so simple to begin with.
The net neutrality?
The net neutrality. Should all internet traffic be treated equally? Okay, that's the question. So that's net neutrality, and it's really easy to say, "Oh yeah, you know, absolutely."
Great.
These packets that you know,
packets.
Amos calls them packets.
What are packets?
Think of it as a package. Okay, I'm just going to change the word slightly here. Okay. So it takes, let's just say, it takes 10 or 20 packages to deliver that Netflix movie to your house. Okay, so the truck backs up at Netflix and starts loading packages on it, and Are those packages mixed with all the other packages going on the internet at the same time, or does Netflix have the ability to load that first truck up with all their packages and send them to you? That's the question here. Is the delivery of those, you know, Amos calls them packets, I call them packages. So are all those treated equally? Is that a mixed truck, or is that a strictly just that one delivery to me across the internet? That's the question of all. And back to your question is, you know, can this all be worked out? And I don't know. You know, is it a utility? Is it a gas company? Is it similar to a gas company and an electric company and a water, delivering water service? So can it be regulated? Should it be regulated? Those are great questions. It's scary to think that you're going to impose government onto all this. I mean, just number one. And the other thing is what are some of these internet companies, when you don't have competition, what rules are they going to impose on you? As the user, you're paying them, but this is a service you're going to get, and this is what you're going to get. So there's a lot of open ends to this discussion.
Amos, so pretty much agree then there that this is there's not going to be an easy resolution to this, that it'll just be kind of maybe stops and starts, moving in different directions along the way?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's going to be an easy way out of this. I think it will continue to be messy for a while. I think mostly because, like Kent said, there is the fundamental question is so basic and easy that it's kind of an obvious yes, but it's how far does that go and what slippery slopes does that create, and do we pay attention to those slippery slopes, or do we just assume that people are going to keep things as the way they're intended? They're not going to utilize these abilities to throttle or rate limit other companies for nefarious purposes or for competitive purposes. And so since there's those slippery slopes, there's going to be passion on both sides, and I don't see this becoming anything less than messy anytime soon.
All right. Kent?
So one of the arguments against net neutrality, mm-hmm, is if we, and I'm saying we as like I'm a cable company, if a cable company or a Comcast or a Verizon or somebody gets payments from companies like Amazon and Google and Netflix and other places to deliver content, they're going to be able to take that money and roll that back into technology and make bigger internets and make faster internets for everybody, I guess, is the argument against net neutrality. So if they get more money, they'll be able to improve the service, and that tidal raise all boats, I guess, is the argument against net neutrality. So there's good arguments on both sides. It's just going to come down to see what the public comment is and see what happens from here.
All right. Well, Kent, thanks so much for taking the time and stopping by the studio here.
Mm-hmm.
And Amos, thanks for joining us on the line.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Ken Osborne is SDPB Director of Online Education, host of Tech Radio, and Amos Aesop is Network Security Sales Engineer at SDN Communications and a regular guest on Tech Radio, which is heard every other Friday here on SDPB Radio over the noon hour.